Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we look at this morning is from the teaching of our Lord in the Holy Gospel, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. What's on your heart this morning? It's a curious question that we all seem to understand. But on its face, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. We know that the question is not really about one's cardiovascular health, as if we are asking whether you're aware of a plaque buildup or some other harbinger of disease. It's not the question. We also know that the neurotransmitters that manage and circulate microelectric pulses that create what we call thoughts are in no way resident in that fist-sized organ that sits in the middle of your chest. And yet we all know what the question, "What's on your heart," means. The heart has been identified as the residence of particular thoughts and emotions since the dawn of time. Early on in Scripture, we see it referenced at the coming of the flood. In Genesis 6, we read, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." What is on our hearts is clearly important, even if the language is not quite physiologically accurate. A more accurate, equally well understood question is its cousin: what's on your mind? Now, the exact intention of that question depends on who's asking and the circumstances, of course, but by and large, we recognize that that question is a little less emotionally personal or intense. It tends to casually inquire as to what you're thinking about. So what's on my mind? Well, like so many of us, I suspect, I would probably answer in general something that reveals a crowded list of things to do. The hedge needs trimming. The car needs replacing. The office needs organizing. The finances need reviewing. The school year, which is coming up very quickly, needs a lot more preparing. And so on and so on. You probably have lists like that yourselves. Those that we carry on into the night, wake up in the middle of the night, something comes to mind that we add on yet again to our task of lists that we carry around in our minds wherever we go. What's on your heart is generally understood to be a more intimate, deeper question. In answer to that, to what's on my heart, I would offer faith in our Lord, the love of my spouse, the care of our sons, the life of this family of brothers and sisters in Christ, the health of my parents. In that regard, the heart is an appropriate, if only symbolic, keeper of those types of thoughts and emotions. For they are the ones that one might say are at the heart of who I am as a person, what I truly hold to be most dear, most vital to my life. And like the lifeblood that is pumped out of one's chest that enables even the brain itself to do the actual work of thinking and remembering and so on, what's on our heart is really at the center of life. The gospel reading before us today, these words of Jesus could be titled in our translations of the Bible with that question, "What's on your heart?" Jesus had just finished teaching the crowds the parable of the rich man, who God calls a fool for believing that he could somehow rely on his earthly wealth for security and happiness. Jesus then turns to his disciples, and he adds this teaching before us today to further focus us on where our considerations ought to be. His illustration of the ravens, the lilies of the field, even the great earthly wealth of Solomon are, I suspect, quite familiar. His teaching is clear: do not be anxious about your life. Applying that teaching, though, is quite a challenge. I suggest we use verse 29 as a focal point. In the NIV translation, verse 29 reads, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." Now, I'll first acknowledge that that is not an especially good literal translation of the Greek text. The ESV, the English Standard Version translation of Scripture, which is the version that is before you this morning, more accurately translates the verse, "Do not seek what you are to eat or drink, nor be worried." But I really appreciate the connotation of the NIV version because it seems to capture the gravity of Jesus' point. Think about it. What do you really seek after in your life? You seek after what is on your heart, what is of primary importance. Now, it is true that in our oversized grocery stores of today, you do need to seek out your particular brand of coffee or cereal or whatever else in the seemingly endless aisles filled with a myriad of choices. But clearly, that is not Jesus' point. He is focused on what we really seek after in this life, that which becomes our highest priorities, the ways by which we define life. And truth be told, everyday cares of this world, those things that are on our to-do lists, can easily make their way onto our heart. That's when tasks that do need to be done become our own sources of self-made worry and anxiety, when they begin to take on a kind of oversized place in our lives. We so easily fall into the temptation to live as if this life is truly all there is, that we are somehow left on our own to succeed by some measure. So what do? We run after the temporary desires of this life, just as Jesus warns against. We, like the very rest of the world, cling to the stuff of this world. And let us confess that we lose sight of what we confess together, that this life is but a prelude to the grander life to come. Listen to Jesus' prescription in the face of our worry. Beginning just beyond our reading for today, he adds these words. Jesus says, "Fear not." And then he adds, "Little flock." Such a fatherly, gentle tone. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He goes on to say, "Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Catch that. God has chosen in Christ to give you the kingdom, an inheritance, a share, a place in his eternal realm. Your single greatest need is already covered, and you did nothing for it. It's a gift. And Jesus can make such a bold promise because he is the means by which the kingdom is given to you. Almighty God the Father gives us the kingdom solely through the bloodshed sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And solely by faith in him do we embrace such an all-surpassing treasure. And with that promise in view, Jesus says, do not be anxious. Elsewhere he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Now let's be clear, Jesus' teaching here is not meant to burden or condemn. He is not intending to stir up your guilt for the times in which you have been anxious and worried. Instead, it is meant to comfort and reassure. Jesus invites, look to the kingdom of God now. Let that be on your heart, not because you don't need groceries or rent money or retirement income, but because your relationship with the Lord who loves you is even greater than any of those needs. Look first toward his kingdom, because you will never find contentment if the stuff of this world is truly the highest expression of treasure for you. The rich man was called a fool for relying on his stuff. Let's not join him. Jesus invites our hearts and our minds to be at peace and rest in him. Not that we are idle, but that we are content. Confident that our daily bread, as God provides through an infinite number of means, is truly what we need for this body and life. If we cast our cares upon the one who cares for us, we are freed to see the hand of provision for us in all circumstances in life. I'd like to conclude this morning with an adaptation of a familiar blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died with you on his heart, and the love of God the Father, who knows your every need in life, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who unites us as a family in Christian love, be altogether what is first and foremost on all of our hearts today. Amen.